Stockwell has a very, very special place in my heart, because it's just, I can see the potential of it, but it's those dear people who are dear older saints who just kind of faithfully praying and looking and waiting for leadership, really, and thrilled when the thought of all these youngsters come again.
Yeah. Hello and welcome to Independence, the FIEC podcast. My name is Adrian Reynolds, Head of National Ministries for the FIEC, and here I am with two Londoners, Trevor from Southwest London, and who's our Director for London. Great to have you with us, Trevor.
Thank you.
And Yannick Christos Wahab, who's from Stockwell Baptist Church.
Yep.
Previously from Brixton Local Church.
Yep.
Also called Block.
Yes.
So if we just drop into calling it Block, that's what we're talking about.
Yes.
Brixton Local Church. And we're here to talk about Stockwell Baptist Church, actually, and everything that's gone on. So, Yannick, kick us off. Tell us just in we've got an article on the website, which we'll put in the show notes, but just tell us just kind of a brief history of how Stockwell Baptist Church came to be where it is today. Because it's not the same Stockwell Baptist Church it was 5 years ago.
Yes. So, okay. So, long story. So I was involved at Brixton Local Church Block.
Which is a co-mission church, right?
It's a co-mission church.
Planted
into Brixton by a guy called Jason Mariner, who is incredible.
If you've met Jay Mariner, you know exactly who we're talking about.
Yes.
If you haven't, you need to.
Yes.
That's all you can say, really, isn't it?
Yeah, incredible. Yeah, church planter. And yeah, did an incredible work just getting that church planted. It was through commission. So I joined that in about 2018. Been going for a few years. I'll say a bit about the demographics of Block and then come to Stockwell Baptist Church. Okay. But Block was many 20s and 30s, mostly, second generation, black church, predominantly a black church, mostly. I would say this about Block. Block is like the coolest church you'll ever...
I had some happy times doing some midweek stuff for Block. So, yeah, very happy. Always going there. Yeah.
It was the coolest church in London.
Yeah,
and I can say that because it's like... had zero to do with me. I was bringing the whole thing down, but like everyone's a creative. Everyone, like, no one just did like a regular job. Everyone was like involved in super creative things, so really cool young church. So that was, I joined in 2018. Stockwell Baptist Church, on the other hand, is a historic church, 1866. So been around for a very long time. And I guess my involvement with Stockwell Baptist Church started through conversations with Trevor. So I met Trevor at the train station just now this morning. I didn't get to say it to him, but it kind of had a flashback to a time we met. I think it was in Waterloo.
A good flashback.
We met in the Waterloo station. No. And Stockwell Baptist Church was part of the FIEC.
Yeah, perhaps maybe we should ask Trevor to tell us the kind of brief history of Stockwell up to this point.
Yes, well, for many years.
An enormous building.
Yeah, enormous. You think it was modelled on the Metropolitan Tabernacle.
Right, mm-hmm. Yeah. It probably was, wasn't it?
Well, yes and no, I think. But a superb building. In a great location.
Just for people who don't know where Stockwell is, so Brixton people have a vague kind of idea where that is, but Stockwell?
Stockwell is the nearest oval cricket ground, is not far away.
Okay.
Vauxhall's
okay.
Just up the road.
Yeah. So they're kind of neighbouring areas.
Oh, yes,
yeah,
indeed.
Sure, okay.
Next to each other. The pastor, who'd been in there, I think, about 30 years, had kind of retired, moved down to Wales to work in another church. And at that point, I got involved as the London director at the request of the two elders that were remaining there to help them find a pastor. And that led to sort of my asking them questions about, well, where do you want to take the church? What's the vision for the church? And so on. And basically what you had was a group of very faithful, predominantly older Afro-Caribbean people who had long roots back into the church. But in reality, the church was in something of a time warp. So I got a friend, Brian Edwards, previous president of FIEC, to get involved. And we basically spent the next 2 years meeting with them, talking about preparing the church for a pastor, remodeling that Sunday morning to say, you're not praying anywhere in the life of the church. So let's, instead of the all-age Sunday school, let's have a prayer meeting. Three-quarters of the church would come to that prayer meeting,
right,
which was indicative. The subject of their prayer so often was the loss of their children and grandchildren who'd kind of turn their back, not on the gospel, but upon this kind of cultural presentation of the gospel, which was a light year away from what they were used to. Then we organized the preaching, and we just did an hour, and we got preachers in, and that allowed us to bring people that might be looking for a pastorate. And we took the opportunity then of introducing Yannick at that point, because to one side, as it were, I was having conversations with Jay Mariner. And
were you thinking Yannick at this stage about, I mean, I don't think this is a spoiler alert, the two churches merged. Were you thinking about this at this stage about a merger, or were you just thinking about, you know, Yannick could be someone who come and pastor this church? What was the kind of the thinking at that point?
I guess George.
I think it was... Here was Stockwell, had a great building, needs a lot doing to it, but a great building, location, and some dear older saints, and a good number, 50, 60 of them. And here, on the other hand, is this young, vibrant church, desperate for a building, desperate also for having a multi-generational church. Yep. So it was a kind of, it seemed like a marriage made in heaven in that regard. So that idea of merging them wasn't rocket science. It was soon fairly apparent that it could actually, again, the question, what would best serve the gospel? And you could see the mutual benefit that would be within that. Mm. And then we had, within the middle of that, we had Yannick as potentially coming as the pastor. Yeah.
How did you feel about it, Yannick? You know, you were in this uber cool church that you described. Mm-hmm. Did that sort of fill you with dread, excitement, a mixture of both, you know, kind of what was the emotions that were going on there thinking about this potential merger?
Yeah, I mean, I guess taking a step back, I think when I first kind of went to Stockwell Baptist, when I went to preach, and at that time, I don't think, we were having any conversations about merging, but I was just like, you know, let me go and help. Yeah, I fell in love with the church. I thought the church was incredible. Because it was a church that, yeah, I mean, just loved the word of God. Firstly, that's probably the first thing that was so striking, was that these people just loved the Bible, loved preaching. And it was just fantastic to see. And the demographic was interesting. So, like, again, I'm Nigerian background, so I kind of grew up in black churches. But Stockwell was like the first of those kind of black churches, which was, I guess, theologically so aligned.
Right.
Okay. That was older. So there were churches like Block that were like kind of younger, lots of second generation people.
Sure.
I can't think of a church which was predominantly black in that sense, at least especially at that time, which was like so, just had such a love for God's word and love for biblical interpretation and just, so it was rare to me. When I walked to the Stockwell Baptist, I thought this is amazing. This place is incredible. And I think...
Which is a great groundwork, isn't it?
Yeah,
actually
for
getting
sure.
beyond everything else.
Because
if you've got the word of God to come back to all the time, you're able to get beyond some of those other differences, right?
Yeah, so church culture-wise, the church cultures are very different, but biblically was on the same page, which, even just for me, like I some people go into churches where, you do a church marriage, maybe part of the church don't believe the Bible's the word of God, or you're trying to commit, like...
You're not even sure some people are believers
couldn't do that. Not a chance, you know. But on the Bible, we're 100% agreed. Church culture was very different. But I think, there was a love for the church, for the people, like, immediately. And I think, very early on, it became clear to me that, like, actually, what would work great, what would be amazing is... Yeah, as a merge, because there were things that Stockwell Baptist Church had that just Bricks Block needed, and I think there were things that Block had that Stockwell Baptist Church needed.
Yeah.
And it became apparent just very quickly that, like, together for the gospel, this could work.
How did you go about, I mean, question for both of you, really, for you, Trevor, in relation to Stockwell, and for you, Yannick, in relation to Block, how did you go about persuading the church, you know, making the case for that?
Well, I think I come back to this with generally with revitalization. I'm very passionate about revitalization because I think increasingly there's a need for it and the opportunity.
Rather than planting. Let's just, can we just, if you don't mind, a little aside, Yannick?
Yeah.
Just unpack that for us a little bit, because actually, you know, planting's a thing, You know, it's sexy, very exciting. Why revitalization? Well, why would I want to, you know, take up all the baggage of a little place and you know, why?
Well, as somebody who's been involved for the last 8 years in helping plant the Globe Church,
yeah.
any church plant, after 5 years, you're desperate for your own building. You realise you've not got much footage into the local community. Yeah. There's all sorts of things hanging over you in terms of, is this school, is this place going to throw us out because of our beliefs, etc. Whereas with a revitalisation with the existing church like Stockwell, what have you got? You've got a great history in the area. So you might well knock on the door and say, I'm from Stockwell Baptist, and they might say to you, oh yeah, I used to go to there. To Sunday school.
Okay.
You're known.
Yeah.
They've got a building. They had a manse. A little bit of money, enough to refurbish the manse. But it's that presence in the area, in the history in the area.
Right, okay.
Now, that's what any revitalization has got for it. What you needed is what we actually had with Stockwell, who were basically bless them. And Pastor Hayden had laid a great foundation in the Word of God. But they were a people who were desperate to that the gospel should go out. And they had evangelistic teams, a rota that went out every Sunday you know, so there's so many good things. But their heart was there, and they just need a little bit of leadership and encouragement. And but you need to spend time on that. That was a 2 year investment. And there were occasions, I think, when Brian and I would go home on the train and think, oh, I'm not sure this is gonna work and this sort of thing. But then the Lord would open the door. So I think talking with Yannick coming up on the train, I think there are numerous opportunities like this in London that I'm very passionate that we think about.
And possibly some other cities
absolutely.
As well.
Yeah. So the key was the church was ready for change. The church was ready to embrace change. And so how practically it happened.
Was it ready at the beginning of that 2 year period, or was that was the investment that you made in the 2 years?
Right, okay. I think Brian and I had certain advantages in terms of, because of our ages, the respect that we had in that, and I think because they knew we cared for them, and we really wanted to see them prosper. So Stockwell has a very, very special place in my heart, because it's just I can see the potential of it, but it's those dear people who are dear older saints who just kind of faithfully. Praying and looking and waiting for leadership, really, and thrilled when the thought of all these youngsters coming in.
Yeah. Were the youngsters as thrilled?
Yeah, so I always say this about when I talk about the merge. It was a weird situation in the sense that I don't think either church was ever thinking about a merge.
Right, okay.
So Stockwell Baptist Church.
It wasn't something you were pursuing and looking for.
No, we're not like thinking, we should merge, right? So it's kind of come out of the blue, and Stockwell Baptist Church is the only church it could have happened with. It's not another church that I think that exists that would have. Yeah. So I think that was one of the challenges, is like, this has just kind of come out of the blue. And so I remember speaking with every single, you know, had went for lunch with this, essentially every single member individually, and was like, here's the situation. This is what's come up. These are the potential advantages. These are the challenges, and chances are it will be very hard if we decide to do this. It's just going to be very hard for quite a while.
So you were quite honest about the challenges up front.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I wanted people to be really clear about that because, I knew it would be a big change. Mm-hmm. And coming from a church plant where it's small, it's young, you move, you quick, you do things, you make decisions really quickly and all those kind of things, it'd be a big change to then. But at the same time, we're just conscious that I mean, the biggest thing, and, you know, you have to be careful with this, but, like, the biggest thing was it felt like this was just God's work. And I wanted people to pray about it and think through, like, whether this was an opportunity that God had brought. But it wasn't staged in that sense. It was a sense in which, like, actually God just brought it about. And we just knew, Block knew, there was lots of things we needed from Brooks Local Church. And so, obviously, I know we used the language of, like, revitalization, but, like, yeah, both churches needed each other as much as.
Did you need a lot of persuading, or was it
me?
Was it an easy sell for you personally?
Oh, personally, when I stepped into Stockwell Baptist Church, I fell in love with the church, and I think very early on it was clear that if the idea of a merge was possible, it just felt like this is what God wanted. Yeah. I mean, more than anything else, I felt like this is like God had brought this about. So for me, it was quite clear, I think fairly early on, that like, I thought this is, God would make it happen. But obviously everyone has to agree. Everyone has to be for it. Everybody has to, all the things have to come together. And yeah, it did. I mean, I always say this when I think about this, but yeah, it was just, lots of things are just not repeatable in the sense that God just was kind.
Sorry, I think there are some things that are repeatable if we think more widely. Mm-hmm. Is if I think about it, what are the key elements? One, it could be built around a man, a gifted preacher that both congregations had confidence in. Because that was the priority.
Well, although more fundamentally than that, that both love preaching of the word.
Yeah, that's right.
And so you get a good preacher of the word. You're kind of building on that,
So you had that. You also had a team of people that were bought into this and going to strengthen it. So undoubtedly...
So it didn't just feel like a takeover.
No, so Blockwell were going to strengthen by serving the church and vice versa. And there'd be other things that would be flowing the other way. And thirdly, finance. You had to think about how make this happen financially and so on. So those, I think, are three kind of key elements in that. But it was a sense of God's hand upon this, and you just keep in step with the Spirit, wasn't it?
Give us some timelines, because you talked about being there for 2 years before this happened. When did all this merger happen? So we're here, we're recording this December 2022. Happy Christmas. not quite December, is it? So when did all this happen, merger?
So the merger itself happened September 2019.
Okay, so we're 3 years in.
Yes.
So let's reflect on those 3 years. We don't want to run out of time. That's the story. There's also a website article which we'll put in the show notes that we wrote about the merger, so people can get a bit more information there. 3 years in, all plain sailing?
No, of course not. It's
what have been some of the challenges along the way?
It's challenging because the church cultures are different, and especially just multi-generational church. So one of the big things that happened in the merge was that we now have people all the way through, from newborns till the first...
We tend to think, don't we, that differences in church culture happen across backgrounds. Mm-hmm. But actually, one of the most significant differences that can be created in church culture is across ages, isn't
it? Yes.
Whatever your background. Yes. Because people just have a different way of thinking about life and doing life. And
Different approaches to change. So like the first funeral I did, the woman was 100. So that's the range of our church.
Okay.
We have loads of people who are in their 90s, 80s, 70s, all the way back down. And so, it's challenging. Young people want things changed yesterday. Those who are older are more changed, a bit more wary of change, right? But also going from a plant to an established, those are different dynamics. And there is a blank canvas. You could do what you want. An established church, there's traditions and so on and so forth.
How have you dealt with that personally, Yannick? Do you find that kind of dealing with that tension wearing? Do you just take it in your stride? How do you deal with it?
I mean, I love the... I think I've always just loved church tradition. I think I ended up in a plant, but I could have easily ended up in a more established church.
So you can value the things that people were keen to hold
on
to.
For sure. Now, some of the things had to, need to change and so on and so forth.
So give us an example of something that needed to change.
I mean, an obvious example is like things like branding. So like with Block, Brixton Local Church, everyone's a creative. Everyone's really, had a really good sense of that. Stockwell Baptist Church, older, and so less in tune with those kind of things. And so it's like, okay, that's something that needs to change. But I think in general, I think there was a sense in which there was a deference to the church tradition that existed. And I think part of that is just age. We're coming to a church where people are actually older than us, by and large. And I think that should be respected. And so I think it was trying to say, we're going to make changes where we think there's gospel reasons for that. So even, for example, an early kind of example of what we mean is the name.
Right.
Right. So we merged. We were Brixton Local Church. It was Stockwell Baptist Church. And it was very quickly, it's going to stay Stockwell Baptist Church. Okay. We're not changing that. Which in some senses is hard because if
you want
like,
to go for Stockwell Local Church.
No, definitely not. But you feel like this whole thing with there's a lot block really meaningful for lots of people. And in one sense, it feels like that's just gone. But actually, it made sense to for it to be Stockwell Baptist Church, and we wanted to serve the gospel. So I think it required lots of, lots of humility.
What did you hold on to?
Well, I think what we think Block did best, like, so I think lots of like cultural engagement and things like that, I think Block was great at, and I think those are things that we wanted to make sure we can carry over. But there are lots of things that Block did not do well, and Stockwell Baptist Church did way better than Block did, and we wanted to do that. And so,
give us an example of one of those.
Just being grown, like, again, church plant, you could just do things like any which way. And I think there was a sense of order that Stockwell Baptist Church had that I think was really, really helpful. I think when it comes to evangelism, like, we did lots of things about, you know, kind of cultural engagement and so on and so forth. But like, in terms of regularly just going out and sharing the gospel, Stockwell Baptist Church had was way better at that than Brixton Local Church was. And so I think, it was anything but a takeover. I think it really was just genuine.
It was a genuine merger.
A genuine merger, which I think probably doesn't happen a lot. But it was a genuine merger, and I think both churches have benefited.
Yeah, a marriage, you might almost call it.
Yes, indeed.
What happened about leadership, Trevor, in the church? There were two elders at Stockwell. So how's that developed?
Well, they formed the eldership with Yannick,
right.
And I think that's probably the big challenge still, isn't it, in terms of raising up a leadership team. I was very conscious that there was a lot on Yannick's shoulders, and is a lot on Yannick's shoulders, and therefore you just can't produce people overnight. And that's, I think, been a challenge that we've been talking about for the last couple of years, really.
Yeah, but it's been a blessing too. And I should say on that, like, the elders, like, just that love and support and respect with the elders who were at Stockwell, but it's so critical and key. And that's been the case. Like,
Can I ask, have you lost people?
Not because of the merge.
Okay.
Which is surprising. I think we went into it thinking there'll be lots of people who would leave because of the merge. Yeah. But, I mean, we lost one or two people, but not. Okay.
Not people thinking, I don't want to be part of this, I want to do this.
And it was
too
open.
Too much hassle.
It was open to any, you know, it was really clear, listen, come, if you don't want to stay, don't stay. If you don't, you know.
Gave people permission to not have to be part of it.
Yeah, people for
Is that an important thing to do, do you think, Trevor, to give people, you know, when you're taking such a significant step, is it important to say to people, look, this may not be for you? Given that that's apparently what you say on the gangplank.
Well, John Tyndall was parodying me, of course.
Yeah, yes.
And the issue is that there was time spent with the church. It was 6 months spent.
Okay, so you invested
the issue,
that. Okay.
In the members' meetings that Brian and I would attend with the elders, having the elders lead them and so on. So I think there was, near unanimous buy-in to the merger. So both churches had to vote upon it. And at the same time, they did the occasional social thing together. They were beginning to meet each other, that sort of thing. So, yes, there was always the option for people to leave if they wanted to, but I don't think it was... we didn't consciously encourage that. We just wanted this merger to happen and benefit both churches. I think it was interesting that 4 months, though, after the church, the new church launched, we were hit with COVID.
Yeah.
Yeah, so how did, just very briefly, tell us how that shaped or didn't shape the church? Difficult for everybody, obviously, but...
I mean, really challenging because we weren't at the stage where everyone knew each other yet and we didn't have all the church structures in place. And so COVID was awful.
Yeah,
great. I mean, in lots
Amen.
Of ways.
Amen to that.
It was just not a great time. Well, particularly for me, just trying to keep in touch with everyone, and you just don't have those relationships. Where it was helpful was it did kind of reset things, which was helpful.
Okay. So when you came out, it's like fresh start.
It was less about whether SBC or Block has been done this way or done that way.
Okay.
It was a kind of an opportunity.
So there were some upsides to that.
There was,
even though relationally it was difficult.
There were definitely some upsides, but I think relationally was difficult. But again, God's been kind of, I don't know how we made it through.
Here you are, Yannick. Where next? You know, what's your hope and dream? If I can ask you to dream a little bit for the church, you know, in the next 3 to 5 years, let's say.
First answer is always, if we want to reach the area, we would love to see lots of people come to know Jesus Christ from Stockwell. Like, that's far and away the biggest thing. Like, that's why we're here. But we'd love to train people. We'd love to train people and leaders. We'd love to have more leaders, both at Stockwell, but also people that go off and do other things. I think it'd be wonderful to see that. And particularly along the lines of what Trevor said, it'd be great to see more things like Stockwell. Like, it's been challenging, but I think it's been so incredible. It'd be great to see more of those things happen. And it'd be great if Stockwell somehow could be involved in that, like helping, to go and be parts of other churches, like to help strengthen those churches. I think would be incredible. So, that's what would be great. But the primary thing is, if we're loving Jesus and if we're reaching people with the gospel, that's the main thing.
And you are working on the possibility of having a diaspora study centre in the church.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. So there's something called Diaspora Network, led by a man called Tayo Arikore, who wants to basically create a study centre where people, diaspora church leaders, can come and study and grow and be resourced. And so, hopefully that'll be something that we can, that can be a part of what we do.
That would be a great outcome.
If
you've never seen the building, you need to go on Street View and have a look at the building, because it is quite something, isn't it? Just to see where it is and what kind of building it is. People might be listening to this, Yannick, and just thinking, oh, it's a great story. How can we pray for it? What are some of the headlines you want to give people?
Church unity, always a thing, right? It's diversity is good, like having that range of it, but there are also so many fault lines that could become divisive. So just praying for unity, I think, is a big thing. Unity is one of the things you take for granted until it's not there.
That's right.
But I think for us, it's obvious, it's just always been a prayer point from the beginning, and it continues to be a prayer point. Unity. And that real relationships would form. It's less about Stockwell and Block now, partly because in God's kindness, the church has grown. So there's so many people who don't.
People don't have that story.
Don't even know what. I mean, they hear about it, but they don't have that history. But I think particularly between younger and older, I think that's where I think for those relationships to really form, because it's easy to be in church in the same place and not interact well. So I think that there would be real strong relationships, which is happening, but even more so between those who are younger, those who are older. That would be that'd be great. And for more elders, the church should grow. We need more elders. That would be great.
And I think wisdom developing the proximity is interesting, isn't it? To Hope Church Vauxhall and to the Globe Church. So you've got three FIC churches in quite a short triangle that could be working together for future benefit of the gospel.
Yeah.
Great. Well, thank you, Yannick. Thank you, Trevor. It's a great story. I've loved hearing about it. I know a little bit about it, but it's just great hearing about it and just hearing about gospel possibilities. And I think we do have to dream a little bit, don't we? I think sometimes as evangelicals, we're a bit too pragmatic. And there comes a point where you have to make things work, obviously. But I think we need to dream as well.
Yeah, I have a dream for Stockwell Baptist that also somebody might invest £2 or 3 million in refurbishing the building and turning it into a conference centre church. Yes. And if you're listening or watching this,
trevor@fiec.org.uk.
Then there's a great potential there. Great need potential for that kind of building in London to serve the evangelical cause would be brilliant.
Great. You got it in, Trevor. Well done. Thanks so much for joining us. This has been Independence. I look forward to seeing you, hearing from you, and sharing with you again soon. Thanks for joining us.